The media is the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty innocent, and that's power, because they control the minds of the masses. And this week's opening quote comes from Malcolm X. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. We live in a world today where, within modern society, virtually everything is done for us, everything is supplied for us. And you might think, well, no, that's not true. I have to do things for myself. If I want something done, I have to go and do it for myself. If I want something, I have to go and get it for myself. If I want to build something, I have to build it for myself. And that's all very well. But looking at it as the greater society that we live in, well, in greater Western society anyway, in the developed countries in the world, we have a nanny state, and everything that we want is supplied for us. We don't actually have to go and learn about life or learn any life skills. We don't have to go and grow any food. We don't have to go and learn how to build anything, really, if we don't want to. We don't really have to do anything we don't want to do except collect paper to pay to be alive. All the rest of the stuff that we need to be a human being is supplied for us without us ever having to really learn anything about life or anything about how to actually do anything for ourselves. Unless it's something novel that we may want to try our hand at, like some kind of hobby. But in respect to the normal aspects of our lives, we just don't have to do anything, which means we don't have to learn anything. Nothing real, anyway. Our food is there at the supermarket, all we have to do is go and pick it up and buy it. Anything we need to build anything we want, we just go to the hardware store and buy it. Anything we need is all there for us. And it's the same with information. Anything we need to know, we don't actually have to go out into the real world and experience things for ourselves. All we have to do is go to a library and pick up a book, and the book will tell us what reality is. We don't even have to go to a library anymore. Of course, these things are fast disappearing. Now all we have to do is go online and purchase an e-book, and the e-book will explain reality to us. And if we want to know what's going on in the rest of the world, well, we have our trusted news sources who will tell us all of the new information about everywhere. And this is what we believe is going on, and this is the reality that we have for ourselves. You know, everybody's reality, everybody within the social system that we have, has the reality that they are educated to have. And they know as much about the world as what they have been educated to know via the books that they've looked at, via the information that has come to them. And as I said, if they want to know what's going on in the greater world, what's going on politically, what's going on the world stage, well, they trust the media. And that's a really big problem for us, folks, because one of the reasons it's so difficult to wake people up to what's actually going on in the world, to wake people up to the truth, is due to the utter failure of the media to present real information to people. You know, the media was created to bring information to people and to be a watchdog of government, and they have failed dismally in this duty. They have quite literally now become the mouthpiece of government. I mean, even recently when laws were brought out to gag the media to prevent whistleblowers and all this sort of stuff, the media didn't even report the fact that, oh, excuse me, we've been told we can only say certain things that the government now approves us to say. You think they would have told the public this, and you think they would have taken action against the government because it's actually outside of the realms of law for them to be able to do this. And really think about this, folks. I mean, this is the media, and they're being told that, no, you cannot report government corruption. I mean, they should have made such a noise about this, and had they made a noise about this and really pushed it, there could have been a revolution overnight to get rid of the traitors within government and actually bring things back to some form of normality. Because that's the power the media has. They could really have pushed the public into some action with this information. But the media didn't do that. The media simply rolled over on command, and rather than being the watchdog of government, it transferred its role to being the mouthpiece of government, because the media always supports the government line. And this is never the way it was, and it's never the way the media was supposed to be. It's not the way the media was designed to operate. But unfortunately, that is the way it does operate, and the media does now not function in a role of bringing information to people. It simply functions in order to appease the people and to convince them that everything's okay where they live, the government's taking care of them, but they should always remain in fear of the other guys over the fence. The media simply does not bring any real information to people at all anymore. And that's a big problem. This is why we find it so difficult to reach the neighbours, to reach our families and friends, because many of them believe, well, if it was true, we would have seen it on the television or the newspapers would have told us about it. And they really don't understand how the media works and what the media is for. I mean, you really could blame the media for so much of the situation that we are in, simply due to their failure to report the facts to the people. But again, you know, you can blame the government, you can blame the media, but ultimately the real blame has to come down to ourselves, really, for buying into this ridiculous superstition, this belief in authority. That really is what has caused the whole problem. That's what continues to allow the problem to perpetuate. I mean, even though we know everything is wrong, and we know the media lies to us, know the government lies to us, and all this sort of stuff's going on, it gets to the point where, you know, we see it all, but we still continue to comply with it. So that's really where you start to see the stark reality of who's really to blame for all of this. Because, you know, once you wake up to it, if you do continue to comply with it, then, you know, you're just continuing to pay protection money to the racketeers who are running things. Because that's what government is. Government is simply racketeering in its most basic form. And we pay protection money to these racketeers so that they'll leave us alone. Otherwise, they'll send their thugs in a uniform around to grab us and put us in a cage. And many people can see that this is the way the world is run, but yet they continue to comply with it. And as I've said so often, they do this simply because they live in disunited communities. It's very difficult for one person to stop complying with the system on their own if they do not have the support of their community around them. And many people think, well, it's okay, you should pay your taxes because I pay my taxes, and so therefore you should pay your taxes too. And this is the type of mentality that we're dealing with. It's almost like people thinking, well, it's okay for me to be being beaten over the head as long as everybody else is being beaten over the head as well. It's kind of a weird, bizarre type of logic that we have, but it's understandable because it's what's fed to us via the education system. We're just told that this is the way the world is and this is the way it's always been and it just has to be that way and there's nothing that you can do about it. Essentially, it's a form of people farming. As I said, the media never really alerts people to this fact, and the government certainly tie people up with theatres of conflict and theatres of fear to keep them distracted, so they're never going to tell anybody. But people really should figure this out for themselves, and in fact, I think many people are beginning to figure this out for themselves now. The problem is that once they do figure it out, they still don't know what direction to go in. They still see government as being something valid and something necessary. Even though it's corrupt, they think, well, all these politicians are criminals, yes, but what will we ever do without them? And that, again, is a very bizarre type of mentality, a type of Stockholm syndrome that people seem to be stuck in. They don't like the system, and they know the system is corrupt, and yet they cannot imagine how their life would possibly function without it. But the reality is, folks, that we really don't need the government here at all. We don't need the system here at all. Well, I guess if we've got some sort of society as such as the cities that we've got, we need some sort of a system of infrastructure to manage them. But the system of government that we've got, we don't really need at all. And the reason the world is in the state that it's in, and the reason nobody really knows anything, is because the media simply makes sure that people are kept uninformed. Like I said, you know, even when people do find out the system's corrupt and they find out what's going on, oh my God, the world is run by criminals, they really don't know what to do about it. So many people simply can't see the bigger picture. They want someone to point the finger at. They want someone to blame. They want to be able to say, oh, it's the Zionists, it's whatever. You know, and sure, like I keep telling you for years, the Zionists have certainly got a major influence over what's going on. But even the people within Zionism, the people that do this, I mean, all the people that do all these bad things, they do so because they're programmed to do so. I mean, of course, there are a certain percentage of people who are simply psychopaths and do what psychopaths do. But most of the minions that go along with the plans of these people do so because they're programmed to do so. Most of the people who live their lives in a state of religious division or racial division or social tension of any kind do so because they're programmed to do so. They can't see the bigger picture of what the underlying causes are, which is the government system itself, the fact that all of the problems exist and all of the constraints that hold humanity back exist because they're legislated to exist. You know, if there's something that would improve the world that you're not able to do because you've got to jump through all sorts of hoops and red tape and get approvals and all sorts of stuff, you're just dealing with legislation which is preventing you from moving forward and doing something that would benefit mankind. And that's the problem. You know, and we are kept so misinformed about everything. And really, that is the job of the media and the education system. And the job of the government is to basically appease everybody and keep them contained and keep them satisfied and make sure they're all marching in the direction the system wants them to march in. And we've been looking at all of this for a long time and attempting to figure out what's really going on here. And what appears to be happening, folks, as I've alluded to quite often recently, is that our history has been changed, everything has changed, and what we are involved in is an ever-repeating cycle of the creation of civilizations and the destruction of civilizations. And it would appear the main reason for this is due to mining operations that are carried out during the rise and fall of these civilizations. And this may be a strange thing to consider, but there's an awful lot of evidence to back this up. As I've suggested quite often recently, we are living in a very, very different world, a very different type of reality to the reality that we think we are living in. You know, the world that was here not too long ago is a very, very different world to the world that now exists. And there's so much evidence to back this up. So many of the strange monuments and strange artifacts that we've found lying all around the world tell a completely different version of history to the one that we've been told. And not only they tell a different version of history, but they also suggest a different concept of life and what life is, really what this world is, what magic is, what our powers of manifestation are, really what we once were and what we are really capable of. They lend credence and value to many of the ancient myths that exist. And these myths are incredibly interesting because you find there are common myths that exist in all cultures from all different parts of the world that are apparently not supposed to have had contact with each other, and yet they all talk of similar tales. And it goes a long way to validating these myths and demonstrating what type of a reality we once had, what this world once was, and indeed how locked down and how blinded we have become. You know, the closing down of the pineal gland and the things that are done to us to limit human potential, the fact that we're told that 98% of our DNA is junk, which is completely and utterly ridiculous, it just shows that 98% of what we should be doing, we are incapable of doing. 98% of our potential has been reduced. 98% of who we are is missing. Well, it's unknown to us anyway. That's what junk DNA is, folks. It's not junk. It's the stuff that gives you access to what exists outside what you know as reality, which is a very, very small part of reality. Think about it. If 98% of your DNA is shut down, then 98% of your access to reality is shut down. So you're experiencing about 2% of what you really should be experiencing. And you have access to 2% of your capabilities due to something that happened that shut us down. What was that? What happened? And what happened as a result of this shutdown? What else did we lose access to? Now, not just our higher senses and not just the world around us, but could this also explain why things that appear to be mysteries to us are such mysteries? Because if we have not got access to 98% of our capabilities, then that would certainly explain a lot of things. A few shows ago, I was talking about the paintings of Leonardo da Vinci, for example, how these paintings are actually impossible to paint because of the medium that they're painted on and the way they're painted. The fact that the paint on Leonardo da Vinci's paintings is only 2 microns thick. With the amount of shading that you've got on these paintings to produce the textures that you've got, there's no way to do this and apply that many colors and result in a thickness of only 2 microns. We can't even laser print that many colours in 2 microns. And this is a great mystery as to how these paintings were done. It appears to be done via technology that we don't have access to, but what if that technology exists within ourselves? Because what we don't have access to is 98% of who and what we are. So again, the question becomes, what was the event that caused this to happen? And why isn't this being looked into? Why isn't this part of the human experience ever really discussed by people? Why is it never discussed by academia, by scientists, by government, or by any of the sources that we look to for authority or advice? It's not even acknowledged by them, let alone discussed by them. Now, all that is discussed by these people is economic standards and economic values and what we can do to improve the economy and how much we need to tighten our belts and austerity and how we all need to go into a state of scarcity to pull the country forward so we can be the best country in comparison to all the other countries, and all the countries are told the same thing. And there's nothing about the human experience ever discussed at all, not outside humanity's economic worth anyway, and that should be a little bit of a sign for people. You know, the systems of control that are here to curtail the human experience is so vast and so all-encompassing that people really can't see it. They can't see the bigger web. That's why they need someone to point the finger at. They need someone within the web to say, you're the one who spun the web. You're the one we can blame. But then they never suggest what we should do after we've blamed this person. Okay, so what are we going to do? We'll name the Zionists as the ones who create all these problems. And okay, we'll remove the Zionists. And now what? Will the world suddenly turn normal? No, of course it won't, because the system is still there, and it's our belief in the system that is the problem. You know, if we were to have united communities, as I've said so often, if you had the strength of numbers around you to simply walk away from the system would cease to function. You know, government only exists because we choose to give government our authority. We do so because we get knocked on the head if we don't, because we live in disunited communities, because if we stand up against the government, the people around us aren't going to stand up with us. They're just going to watch you get knocked on the head and say, well, isn't he silly? He shouldn't have done that. They don't see that all the problems they face come from the same source, and this entire thing is fiction. This entire system is fiction. It's just an idea. It's just an idea that someone put in place that we all agreed to go along with. And for the most part, we didn't even know we were doing it. We were just told that the system is real, and we were told that this is the way it is. This is what the education system is all about, is to train you that the system is real and to instill within you this belief in authority. And we don't question it. But ultimately, it's just an idea. People have ideas, folks, and the system is just an idea. You know, some of these ideas can be good and some of them can be bad, but the idea of the system, the idea of government, has long since ceased to serve the people. Now, if it ever did serve the people, I don't think that was ever its purpose. I think the purpose of government has been to control the people right from the very beginning, to feed them a false reality, to keep them corralled within this people farm, to keep them appeased, to give them all sorts of stuff to entertain themselves with so they don't really notice the servitude they're living in. But I don't think it really serves any purpose at all, and I don't think we need it. I think the real problem is whatever happened to shut us down. So we were so limited in our potential, we were so limited in our view of what reality is. In fact, I think there's so much going on around us that were people suddenly to find their whole senses come online, their higher senses come online, and all of reality was made visible to them, and they were made aware of everything around them, they would probably think themselves completely and utterly insane. But the problem is, as I said, that no one can see the bigger web. No one is even prepared to really acknowledge its existence. And even within the resistance, there's too many people who just want to be gurus, want to be the leader, want to be the one who's got all the answers and shout down everybody else and snap and accuse anybody who disagrees with them, divide and conquer. It's a complete schmozzle. I mean, it certainly has a lot of potential, but in its current form and with its current direction and the current attitude of many people within it, there's no freedom to be found in the resistance, because the resistance can't even step back from itself, generally, and look at the bigger picture or even acknowledge that there may be a bigger picture. Too many people within the resistance have locked themselves into belief systems, or they want someone to blame. And sure, there's a lot of people to blame. There's a lot of people, a lot of mechanisms, a lot of institutions that we can point the finger at, all of them are corrupt, all of them can be held to blame in some way. But again, if we remove all of them, then what? Because if people are still not in contact with who and what they are, where will the world go from that point? And if people were to regain this connection to who and what they are, then there's nothing else they have to do. Because once you get that connection, you can see just how easy it would be to step away from the system. And all the fighting and all the finger pointing and all the stuff we do simply distracts people from ever doing that inner work and looking within and discovering the true power that they have. You know, while they're looking for the way out is within. And because they are constantly battling externally and they never really give themselves the focus they deserve or the attention that they need, I think it's all some airy-fairy New Age spiritual rubbish. They're not ever really prepared to step into their power. They want to shout and scream and point the finger and wave their fist at someone and say, you are the one. But then they want to rally the troops to go and fix it. Most of them, that's what they want to do. They want to point the finger at someone and then scream for someone else to fix it. You know, they can identify the problem. Okay, it's you, Mr. Rothschild or whatever. I name you as the problem. And that's it. That's what they do. And they sit there naming him as the problem and they don't do anything about it themselves. They just expect someone else to do something about it. And they think they've got the key to the puzzle there because they've got someone to point the finger at. And really, it's just a distraction from what it is that holds the system up itself, which is our compliance to it. Our compliance to it because of our lack of understanding, our lack of knowledge of the true value of ourselves. You know, it's such a paradox that we're caught in, and it's such an endless loop, an endless cycle that we're caught in. And even the resistance is just this endless cycle, this endless finger pointing, this endless shouting each other down, not ever stepping back and looking at the bigger web that holds the whole thing together. Because ultimately, it's just an idea. The whole system is just an idea. The whole matrix, it's just a concept. And it only exists because people believe it to be real. And when you really step back and look at things, folks, and you consider some of the concepts that I've discussed recently, the concept of the mud flood that happened sometime in the last few hundred years, the concept of them rewriting history, the concept of vast mining operations going on and them simply destroying civilization over and over again to cover up what they've just done and rewriting history for the next batch that comes along. When you really look at this and you consider it to be a possibility, I mean, I know it may sound quite outside the realms of possibility for most people because they believe what they're educated to believe. Most people believe history is what it is because all of these books look so genuine and they believe what's written in them. But ultimately, as I've said so often, all we really know, all we can confirm is that which exists within living memory. All the rest of it is hand-me-downs. And when you consider the possibility that this is just this ever-repeating cycle which is done by design and that civilization is destroyed periodically every few hundred years, it really begins to make a lot of sense. And you look at all the disaster concepts and disaster books and all the stuff that they bring us as well. So we're constantly waiting for a comet or waiting for this or waiting for 2012 or some big ending to happen. There's something that's about to happen. We're all constantly waiting for it. All these disasters happen every few thousands of years and we're long overdue. So everyone expects it. Everyone's expecting the end times. Everyone's expecting something big to happen. So they can simply make it happen. And they can do it every time. And it really does begin to make a lot of sense when you start looking at things. Start looking at some of the ancient artifacts lying around the place. There's a channel I've recently discovered on YouTube as well called New Earth. Very, very fascinating stuff this woman has come up with. I really love the way she thinks. There's one particular episode she did where she is discussing ancient roadworks and ruins on the Americas, on the North American continent specifically. I highly recommend people from the United States have a look at that episode. And from memory, I think the video clip is entitled Colossal Ancient Earthworks in America. She's from Belarus, so her voice sort of kind of has a Russian tilt to the accent, kind of a Russian tilt. And it may be a little bit difficult for you to understand what she's saying to begin with, but bear with it. She's a very knowledgeable woman and thinks right outside the box. And some of the information she presents during that particular presentation about ancient earthworks in the Americas is quite fascinating. And stuff that a lot of people in the United States can probably even go and confirm for themselves. Ancient earthworks, ancient canal estates that appear to exist around Florida, ancient electricity poles where they really shouldn't be, all sorts of things that are in places where they really shouldn't be if history is what they tell us it is. If the United States was really discovered in 1492, if it was really founded as the United States in 1776, if all of this stuff happened the way we are told it did happen, then none of these relics should really be there. And they all are there. So it's a very interesting thing, ladies and gentlemen. So what is going on? What is our history? What are these people who call themselves governments really up to? And what is going on in the background? And who is the controlling hand? Because really, when you look at it, folks, it goes way beyond Zionism. It goes way beyond the Jesuits. It goes way beyond any of this stuff. And no, folks, it goes way beyond the concept of God and Satan as well. You might think there isn't anything that could possibly go beyond those concepts. When you really get down to this physical world we live in, you think about some of the underground bases and some of the weird stuff that goes on in this world. Some of the weird moon anomalies that we see. The moon is very, very strange, folks. I've always looked at the moon as something that really shouldn't be there. It's a lot easier to explain the moon not being there than what it is to explain it being there. And it really doesn't behave the way it should if it is what we're told it is. So God and Satan come a good deal later than what's actually going on in the world here, because there are real, tangible, physical things going on this world that are very much manipulating the direction reality is currently taking. There's all sorts of weird stuff going on in the world, folks. Reality is simply not what people think it is. But we're getting very close to break time here, folks, so I'll leave it there for now and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Don't go away, because there's plenty more to come. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so the concept of us being locked out of 98% of reality, 98% of who we are, you know, really not having access to higher senses, to higher forms of communication, to higher forms of reality that may exist around us, not being able to see stuff that's there simply because we don't believe it's there. You know, the whole concept of whether that would be possible. Now, there is a story that when the Spanish arrived to conquer the Incas couldn't see the sailing ships because they didn't believe in sailing ships. Whether that's true is another question, but that is one of the theories that is presented to people. But the understanding that we do have higher senses and we do have higher languages and higher forms of communication that we're unaware of is a very interesting concept. You know, the language of feeling and emotion that I've discussed with people so often, that I've discussed on the show so often, that I made the film, The Awakening, was simply attempting to convey this type of information to people. How you could understand the language of feeling and emotion to even understand that you are speaking this language and being aware of what emotional energy you're projecting with your actions and through your life in general. The comprehension of your life being a prayer. Every action you perform, every thought that you have, every word that you utter, the emotion, the intention behind it, this is a form of prayer. It all leaves an indelible trace in the field. Everything you put out there, it stays there permanently. And it all produces the energy that this world is made of. The energy of manifestation, if you will. I mean, it's pretty esoteric out there, sort of a concept, but we all know that emotion is a very, very powerful thing. You walk into a room where a couple has been fighting and you know instantly that they've been fighting, because we all say you could cut the air with a knife in here, because you can feel the energy of the room. You can feel the emotional output that has come from the people. You can feel it in the air as a tangible thing. And it's the same with every emotion that you express. And it's understanding that when you feel that feeling, this is actually the field talking to you. You are hearing or feeling the language of emotion, and you can speak back to it. the way it can speak to you. And we're doing this all the time. We're projecting energy into the field via the emotional state that we're in, and this is helping create the reality around us. I've done whole shows about this, how you can change your life by changing your emotional approach to things, by understanding that your life is a prayer, by understanding that the true nature of prayer is giving thanks for the event because it's already happened, putting yourself in the emotional state where the prayer has already been answered. This is what will attract that reality to you, because it's a law of mirroring. It's not a law of attraction, it's a law of mirroring. This is how I got the job as a radio host, because I put myself in the emotional state where I was a radio host. And within 6 weeks, I was a radio host. Now, I've told this story so many times on air, and I made the film The Awakening to try to convey this type of understanding to people. And it's really important in dealing with everything that we're dealing with now that people remain aware of this language of feeling and emotion and be aware that they're speaking it all the time. I mean, it's very easy to forget. It's very easy to get sucked back into the matrix. I mean, I do it myself. But it's extremely important that we try not to do this, that we keep our energy levels high, because it is in maintaining this high energy level that you really find your true sovereignty. People who are looking for sovereignty, well, that's where it is, folks. It's already there within you. All you've got to do is bring it back to yourself. You know, you don't have to take any steps to become sovereign. You're already sovereign. If anyone is claiming you're not sovereign, we'll ask them to explain how you're not sovereign, because you are. It's knowing that that makes it so. That's the thing. And if you don't know it, you never can be. And once you do know it, you realize that there's nothing else that can get in the way of that. There's no forms you have to fill out. There's no actions you need to perform. It's simply a state of being. That's what sovereignty is. True sovereignty, anyway. But again, even many of these quests are red herrings, because a quest for personal sovereignty doesn't really achieve anything. I mean, you can claim your sovereignty as much as you like in the face of this system, but again, the system still remains. It's still there. And that's the problem in itself, is the system and what it is doing to this environment that we live in. You know, when we claim our sovereignty and we isolate ourselves from the system and go and live off in the woods in our little sovereign lifestyle, it's great. It's good for us, but it doesn't really solve anything. It doesn't address the reason that created the need for us to do that to begin with. What we need is for humankind to regain their sovereignty. We need the entire human race to realize what is going on here and step away from the system, because it goes far, far beyond personal sovereignty. It goes far beyond the concept of nations. It goes far beyond the concept of government or any of this system at all. It really does. Goes far beyond the concept of religion, far beyond the concept of any mechanism that has been put there to divide you from other people. Because it's all about the division. That is the main tool that is used against us, and it is what is underlying every single mechanism that is put there, every single belief system that is put there. And belief systems have a huge, huge part to play in everything that we're facing as well. You know, people claiming they know what's going on when really they don't. Nobody knows what's going on here. Maybe the people who are controlling things at the top have a reasonable idea, but the rest of us are just left to figure it out. And we tend to adopt belief systems along the way, close our minds to any other possibility, and then argue with the people around us. And this has been a huge part of the problem, most especially in the last few years. And it truly is one of the biggest issues to address, because nobody likes to be told that they don't know what's going on. Everybody likes to believe that they know what's going on. And if you try to suggest to them otherwise, what happens is their ego kicks in, they get incredibly defensive about it, and they start ridiculing you or whatever, blah, blah, blah. This is what happened with the show that I put out a few weeks ago, Why Are They Hiding History? There were so many people who were completely offended by the mere suggestion that nobody really knows what's going on, and we never will know until we establish the freedom to put all the arguments to rest. People found this to be an incredibly offensive concept to even consider. I think it was that show that I said it, but anyway, that's the problem. People's ego kicks in, and no one likes to be told that they don't know. Everyone likes to believe that they've got the answer to the puzzle and that they are an authority on wherever it is that they've been researching. And so many people may be an authority on certain topics, but in regard to this control grid, there's very, very few people who actually know what's going on. And it's people's claim that they have the answer all the time and locking themselves into that and convincing others that anybody who disagrees with them is the enemy that causes so many problems. Because as I've said so many times, there's so many different rabbit holes to go down and there's so much different research you can look at and so many different conclusions you can come to. It just depends on what information you've had access to. And really, when you just put it all down and step back and really look at the entire thing on the world stage and remove yourself from any stake in the outcome, any stake of what you believe, because that's unfortunately what we tend to do as well. Once we lock ourselves into a belief system, we look for stuff to reinforce it. But if you can put all that down and just put it all on the shelf as stuff to be considered, all possibilities should be considered, absolutely. But what should be believed? That's the question. It should always be remembered that on the path to knowing, on the path to enlightenment, whatever you want to call this journey that you're on, belief is the enemy of knowledge. Because if you lock yourself into a belief system, you just close yourself off to other possibilities, and there is such a wider picture that's going on here, folks. There really is. And when you consider the concept of them simply recycling civilization, recycling history, recycling the human race, as it were, it really does begin to make a lot of sense. The question would be, of course, who is they? Who are the ones who are doing this? What is really going on here? Because when you look at it really rationally, ladies and gentlemen, nothing that exists in the world today can be explained by our current version of historical events that we're given. Our current explanations that were given for anything, nothing explains the situation of the world today. Nothing that comes from mainstream or academic sources anyway. You really begin to look at it, folks, and you realize that academic institutions are there to train people what to think, not how to think, but what to think. And the governments are there basically to corral, manage, and appease the people while the world is demolished around them. And unfortunately, it's us that's doing the demolition because of the fact that we are forced to pay to be alive. So we need to go and get jobs all the time, which all involve destroying the environment or waging war or building the machinery to continue to wage war or working within governmental systems to figure out better ways to oppress the people or supplying the people with further appeasement to stop them protesting about destroying the environment or perhaps entertaining them in some way. And it's this whole economic system, the fact that we are forced to pay to be here, that creates the need to demolish the world that we live in order to collect the paper we need to be alive. And it appears that once people begin to wake up to this fact and start to realize how much they are actually being farmed, then something is done to wipe that civilization out and start again and begin the operation anew and teach the new civilization a new history. And again, that might be a very strange thing for people to even consider, but you've got to ask yourself the question, as I've asked before, how long would it take to hide history and to change history? And the answer is one generation. That's all it would take. And when you think of a world without communication, if you were to bring down the communication system, if you were to revert to a time of, say, the 1900s when we didn't really have mass communication, and if this were happened via some type of mass cataclysm, a flood or a perceived comet impact or whatever, however they do it, if you were to destroy a lot of the people who are here and then scatter the remnants, then a lot of them would be confused. A lot of them would have no idea what had just happened. And over a series of generations, over a very short period, a period of perhaps one or two generations, it would be very easy to deliver the people whatever history you wanted to deliver to them. And to keep all the technology that suited you to yourself, keep it secret. And even when you look at some of the stories that have been presented to us, such as the old story we know about how the Rothschilds gained control of the Bank of England. You know, during the Napoleonic War, the Rothschilds put out the rumor that the French had actually won the war, which caused all the British stock prices to crash, and they were able to buy up the Bank of England for pennies on the dollar. And once the official messenger got back to London after the battle and informed everyone that it was actually the other way around, that England had won, all the stocks skyrocketed again. But the question is, how was Rothschild able to get that information before anybody else? Because apparently we didn't have radio or any other form of communication at that time. An English messenger left straight away. As soon as the battle was decided, the message was sent straight to England so they would know immediately. And yet Rothschild knew first. How did that happen? What sort of secret technologies do people have behind the scenes that we don't know about? How long have they had these technologies? What really goes on in the holiest of holies of all of these secret places we're not allowed into? And how much of what we're fed about the Industrial Revolution and the progression of civilization, the progression of technology, is simply theatre for the masses, so that we can see this gradual progression, so that we're all amazed by all this stuff that happens, all this new technology that suddenly appears on the scene? What if this technology has been here for a very long time, and that we're just simply fed dribs and drabs of it, so it looks like there's this gradual progression to what we're seeing now, which is the rollout of our super new convenient world, all run by 5G, where everybody will have access to everything, but really it's just one big surveillance system to keep tabs on everybody. And it's also a very useful system for harvesting all the information that anybody has, because you get to digitize all the books, you get to find out what knowledge exists at this particular cycle, who's thinking what they're writing down. You get to collect all this information about everybody. Then you remove all the books and you digitize everything, and then you switch the power off so they don't have access to it, so they lose all of their knowledge from the last cycle. Then you might say, well, what do you mean switch the power off? Well, you flood the world, you create a cataclysm, you whatever, you create something which takes down this civilization that effectively switches the power off. It really does make a lot of sense, folks. You see the gradual progression of all this, again, like I said, leading up to what we now believe to be this huge new convenience to our life, but really it's just one big surveillance system and one big mechanism with which to remove the knowledge and the knowledge base and the life skills from humanity for the end of the cycle. It would also be a very, very convenient system to use if there was some type of cataclysm. Perhaps if you were planning to stage some type of cataclysm, it would be an easy way of locating where the survivors are, where the pockets of people who survived the event ended up being, and being able to bring them back into the fold and retrain them and start the process again. You could think of it as kind of like microchipping your pets in case they get lost in the storm. So, is this what's happening? Well, I'm not saying that it is what's happening, but it certainly would explain a lot of things, so I just thought I would put it out there, because it is certainly something worth considering. You know, it would really explain a lot of things, folks. There's a lot of evidence to support this type of scenario being a reality. Even when you look at some of the old paintings that you see, you know, UFOs in the paintings and all sorts of weird stuff in these so-called ancient depictions of things, even biblical paintings have UFOs in them, which is very odd. I mean, the question must be put forth, are these paintings real, or are they simply put there as red herrings to distract us and keep us asking questions? You never know, but it's got to be something worth considering. And we've been lied to on so many levels already. The question is, how deep does the lie go, and how far outside of the box are people prepared to think? And with what's coming and the 5G and the surveillance grid and the whole smart grid that's rolling out, it's important that people do start thinking about things, folks. And a lot of people may think that I've been sort of moving away from the whole topic of 5G a little bit lately, but really it's all interrelated. You know, when I begin looking back at history and began revisiting my roots, simply out of necessity, really, you do begin to see how it all ties together, how this system could be constructed every single time they run this cycle, how it's all this natural progression, how all this predictive programming works, why all these predictions are there and they always seem to come true. Because it's not a prediction, it's a familiar cycle, it's a planned cycle, it's a repeating cycle. And there's every indication to suggest that this is a real possibility, ladies and gentlemen. And you think about it, what Agenda 21 is all about, removing people from country areas and putting them into concentrated pockets of civilization, most of which are near the coast or in low-lying regions. So in such a scenario, it would be very easy to simply flood the coastal areas. I mean, people are expecting it anyway, aren't they? They're expecting the oceans to rise because of global warming and all this rubbish that they're fed. So there's all sorts of predictive programming to suggest this. You know, Agenda 21 is pushing people into the cities. It's pushing people close to coastal regions. And when you look at all of the lost civilizations that are there beneath the ocean, there's every indication that this has happened time and time again. And again, I know it's a lot to consider. I know it's a completely different scenario to what people may consider anything like history to be. But again, there is a lot of evidence to support this type of scenario. And as far as 5G and surveillance grid goes, well, there's a lot of steps being made in that direction, a lot of positive steps, and it's really important that people do keep a focus on that. Even with other research that they're doing, it's important that people make a stand for themselves in their own community, because that's really what this is about. You know, this is all one big game of free will. That's what this world is. That's what this experience is, folks. It's freedom of choice, and we have a choice as to whether to comply with this whole surveillance grid or whether not to. We can do research, we can do all the stuff that we're doing, but well, you have to pay attention to what is happening in our immediate surroundings at the same time. It's very important that people do this, and it's very important that the focus does stay on 5G and does stay on the prevention of this smart grid being rolled out. But at the same time, putting it in the context of history really does explain things to me a lot. It really does help me see things a little clearer, especially when I consider the fact that this is very likely a reoccurring cycle. I mean, it really just does make a lot of sense to me, folks. And again, as I said, I know it's really thinking outside the box for a lot of people, and it's going to be a hard thing for people to even comprehend. And I'm not saying that it's true. I'm simply suggesting that it's a possibility simply because of the overwhelming amount of evidence to support it. And maybe I'll get back to that at some other show, in a future show. Perhaps I can do something about presenting you some type of evidence that I'm talking about. But I did actually cover a lot of this in my 2005 book, Earth's Forbidden Secrets, where I pointed out the fact that everything we're taught about history is wrong, that there's so much wrong with it, it's almost impossible to define in one book. And that book is still available for free download on my website as an ebook, folks. It's always been there. There's never been any cost for that book. And again, I don't agree with everything in the book now, but that's just where my mind was in 2005. But I still certainly agree with the first half of the book, just pointing out the complete farce we're being presented with as history. And again, I really do suggest you go and watch that video by New Earth about the colossal ancient earthworks in America. That's a very, very interesting video, folks. Whether you agree with a lot of the stuff she says or not, the fact that these old remains are there is very, very interesting. And they're not just there in America. I mean, that's the thing. They're all over the world. There's lost civilizations buried everywhere. It looks like I probably will be doing that trip to the Azores as well. I'm simply finding the lure of the prospect of sunken pyramids and sunken ruins to be irresistible. And I've also been told that Rafah Crossing is now open into Gaza, and I've approached the Egyptian embassy, and I've got friends running some questions to the Palestinian Authority to see if I can possibly gain entry into Gaza Strip as well. I know I wanted to come home and rest for a while, but the fact that Rafah Crossing is open and the opportunity that it may provide to get back into Gaza and hopefully make the film I've wanted to make since 2012, since I was there last, is something else which is very irresistible to me. So I'm really looking into that as well. So yeah, rest was a good concept, but possibly busy times ahead. It seems that there is no rest for the activist in the modern world. But again, folks, the prospect of Rafah Crossing being open and actually maybe possibly even being able to get into Gaza Strip, this is something that I really have to seize the opportunity while it's there, if it's in any way possible. So who knows what the future will bring. It might be an interesting year, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, it's shaping up to be one already. I really do need to get some rest though soon, ladies and gentlemen. I really do. It's been an incredibly grueling couple of years, but well, sleep when I'm dead, I suppose. That's what it's all about, isn't it? You got to live life to the fullest. And what a mess we're in. I mean, that's the thing, you know, once you really begin researching all this stuff and you step onto the path of actually getting active, not just researching, but getting out there and getting active in the world and attempting to empower others and going out and exploring and finding out what's really going on, well, it just becomes a mission that is a never-ending mission, because we truly are in a good deal of trouble. You know, the world is in a complete mess, and those who are running things don't take holidays, they don't take breaks, they don't take time off, they work around the clock. They work in shift work around the clock to get their agenda forward and to make sure it always stays on track. Even though they suffer little delays sometimes, they still seem to get it back on track. So that's why it becomes very difficult to take time off in doing this type of research and doing this type of activism once you start, because the world is in such a mess. But even with all of it, you know, I still have an enormous amount of faith that we can heal the human condition. I still have an enormous amount of faith that we can get ourselves back on track and get back to what we once were, because I think that it really would be easy to do if enough people could simply get a grasp on reality, get a grasp on what their real power is. You know, I've often said to you that if everyone were to wake up immediately, if everyone were to wake up instantaneously, if there was to be some sort of worldwide epiphany, we could quite literally change all of this reality in 3 seconds. We could. We could change everything in 3 seconds. Even if we were to get back to our personal sovereignty and still believe this system is real, we could change the world in 3 days if we all wake up. But if we truly wake up to our real power, if all of our DNA was to come online, if all of our higher senses were to kick in, if we were to truly see the beauty in ourselves enough to see the beauty in others, we could quite literally change the world in a flash. In 3 seconds, we could be living in a whole new reality. It really is that simple. That's how powerful we are. Well, that's how powerful I would suggest we are anyway, simply due to some of the experiences I've had in my life. And it gets very difficult doing these shows sometimes because there's so much darkness in the world and there's so much negative information that people need to be made aware of, simply because being made aware of it will provide them the opportunity they need to heal the situation. It becomes very difficult to bring such dark information to people and to attempt to keep the shows empowering. But I think all information is empowering, folks. All information is light, ultimately. It's just different forms of light. Some people have difficulty processing different forms of light. But ultimately, it's all light. That's what enlightenment is. It's bringing light to the darkness. And as soon as we face the darkness really has nowhere to go. It has to flee before the light. And that is the whole purpose of looking at the darkness, because that's the only way to heal the human condition. It really is. As uncomfortable as it is to admit that, unfortunately, it has to be done. And that's what I try to do on these shows, but I try to at least attempt to show you where the light is, because all is certainly not lost, folks. We are at a turning point, most definitely, but all is not lost, and this is a very, very important time in human history. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have now reached that time again where it is the end of the show. And it's been a pleasure to come and talk to you today. I know I've covered a lot of weird esoteric topics, but that's just the way it goes. All these shows are just a free thought flow, just sort of general philosophizing, really, and attempting to look at things a little bit differently, attempting to offer a broader perspective. And again, is any of what I said today true? I don't know. A lot of it is quite interesting, though, and it's certainly quite possible and something that is worth considering. As I said, it certainly does provide a lot of answers for me, and I find it quite empowering to consider the concept that these histories are recycling and that this is a very short cycle that we're in, and that technology has actually been here for quite a while. The fact that not too long ago we were very likely living in a free world, I find it to be a very empowering thing. Anyway, folks, that is it for me. I've completely run out of time. Thank you to all my supporters. Thank you to all the people who send me so many wonderful emails. I didn't get to answer as many as I wanted to last week, but I'm going to be working on answering emails again for the next few weeks, so I will be getting to your emails soon. I do apologize for the delay in my doing so. Thank you to all the wonderful comments that I get on YouTube and all the wonderful friends on Facebook I have. And thank you to all my Steemit friends. And thank you to all the wonderful Patreon supporters that I have. You people really do keep the show going. Make no mistake about that. In fact, it's only the Patreon supporters that have kept the show on air for the last 2 years. So a big thank you to all those people. And I'm sure even the people who don't donate to Patreon also thank you, because no one would be listening to the show and I wouldn't be able to do any of the stuff that I do or get this message out to anybody if it wasn't for you guys. So you really do have my most sincere thanks. But that is it for me, folks. I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care of yourselves until then. Unite with the people around you and be a shining light in your community and lead by example in all that you do. Do that and you will help make a difference, because everybody can do it. And everybody who does it does make a difference. In Lakesh.